Welcome to another episode of the Matt Biamonte podcast. It's game day here in Provo, Utah for a rivalry game between the Cougars of Brigham Young and Utah State. It's actually a big game. This game has been very competitive in years past. Utah State won last year on the road. They are arguably the best team in the state of Utah. They're coming down to Provo. BYU really needs this game to cement bowl eligibility going forward. So there's a lot on the line. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to the game. I'm going with some friends, specifically Jordan Smith and Dave Madsen. They've become my BYU go-to buddies. We have great discussions. They jump on today's podcast as we recap last week's loss versus Washington and look forward to tonight's game against Utah State. So not a lot of time before the game, but feel free to like, subscribe, do whatever you do on whatever channel and forum you listen to, and I thank you for doing so. And without further ado, let's jump into the pod.
All right, joined by my favorite and sometimes least favorite BYU fans, depending on what side of the argument they take. Dave Madsen and Jordan Smith, welcome again. I have a question for both of you. We'll start with Jordan Smith. Just quick recap on the Washington game. There's really not much to discuss, but what was the most discouraging part of that loss?
Just the lack of overall team speed, just how far behind we are there. We showed against Wisconsin that we have the strength, we have the interior offensive defensive line to handle, a Big Ten team like that, but elite Pac-12 speed, we're not there yet. So that was pretty discouraging.
Dave?
I think for me it was overall lack, not necessarily team speed, but team discipline. I mean, we're five games in. This is probably the worst game that we've played just from a point. I mean, I feel like more penalties than we had this game. We had more turnovers than I think any other game, or at least it was tied with Cal. And all that combined led to what you saw. I didn't feel like it was as bad as the score indicated. I mean,
whoa,
I know. This is me put on the blue goggles.
Yes, it football. Is.
And so you can put, you can point at any play in any game. But I felt like our second drive, I think, BYU's second possession was a great drive. We're looking good. Tanner looked really sharp to start the game. And then we just had these, like, consecutive holding penalties and just bumped us back. I mean, we were – it felt like on the verge of scoring and then just had these penalties that killed us and missed the field goal. And then at the very end of the half, of course, just losing that fumble is devastating. And so, I mean, that's kind of a bit of a 14-point swing. You know, if we turn that around, suddenly it's – you're looking more at like a 28-14 type game, which it's obviously still bad, but it's not like, oh, geez, like we look
right
terrible. And so it's one of those games where BYU is not going to blow the doors off anybody, I feel like, especially with this offense. But if we played clean, which was, I think, the difference against Wisconsin, I think it would have been better. And one last thing, I was disappointed in the line play. I mean, we showed against Wisconsin, like Jordan was saying, that we were strong enough to handle the lines. It's a Big Ten opponent, but boy, our O-line did a decent job, but our D-line was pathetic.
Yeah, you know, I don't disagree with anything you guys have said, but for me, I know, shame on me. And Jordan, I don't want you to say anything when I mention this, but I was mostly discouraged by the coaching staff. And hear me out before you jump on me. I'm getting really tired of this narrative that BYU is going to run the 4-3 come hell or high water, and we're not going to do anything else that's going to work for us. And it's pretty clear through 3 years, guys, that the 4-3 is not a fit. And maybe that changes a year or two from now based on recruiting. But in the Washington game in particular, we weren't getting pressure with four. And we did we even blitz? I don't remember ever bringing a linebacker. Did we ever bring more than four? That's ridiculous to me. Like, we can't just – yeah, I'm not going to put this on Kalani because it was a defensive issue in my opinion, but where is the willingness and ability to adjust the scheme? Like, sometimes we can't rush four and play man coverage. Sometimes that's just not going to work. Why don't we ever see any creativity defensively like we used to?
Jordan, I'll let you respond.
Well, I mean, we were kind of spoiled. I think Bronco Mendenhall was one of the top defensive minds. I don't always feel like he was a great head coach at times, but as far as a defensive coordinator, he is not just in BYU history, but nationwide. He's elite. And we switched to a scheme that I agree is not working. It works up at Utah because they get superior athletes on that. Because
they get players like Star Lotulelei who go 10th overall in the draft. We're not getting that.
They've got better athletes. I'll be curious to see, like you said, what's coming down the pipeline as far as recruiting, if that'll change. But I agree. I'm frustrated with the defensive calling. I have been for the last few years. I'm not impressed with Tuiaki. I don't get it, but I also – they torched us in the passing game. They had wide their receivers were open on every play. So it's a double-edged sword. If you blitz, you leave them even more open for bigger plays. Are you trying to – but
anything to disrupt the freaking machine, though. I mean, that was just 15 yards here, 20 yards there, 20 yards here. Four or five plays, they're in scoring position, and it's just – it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's frustrating. I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. I also kind of – I mean, yeah, obviously Utah's had the better defensive linemen around the 4-3, but against Washington this year, they weren't getting home with four either. But the difference was in the second half, they made the adjustments to start overloading and bringing six, you know, and they were getting home. Like, they were
– What a novel concept, doing something different.
Exactly. That was what is so frustrating to me about Tuiaki, right? If there was ever a game for you to make some kind of a defensive adjustment, it was this one. Like, we already knew going in that Washington, we were outmatched at the skill positions, and we knew if Browning had time, like, he was just going to pick us apart. And so it's like, all right, maybe run your base defense to see how you hold up, and if you can get pressure with your with your front four. But if you can't, maybe at halftime, novel concept, like you said, we mix things up. You know, we dial up some blitzes and things like that. Yeah, you may give up the home run, but we weren't stopping them anyways.
Right.
We're just marching down the field. And so, yeah, you got to do something different. I agree, Matt. Tuiaki has shown just either a complete just lack of desire to change or just not knowing how to change. And I don't know which one's worse. Like, he's so stubborn and running the 4-3, or he just doesn't know how to, like, mix things up to, you know, get pressure to adjust his game plan. But, yeah, I agree. That needs to change.
Jordan is probably right in that we are maybe not appreciating the fact that we did have an elite defensive coordinator, but I just love that from week to week, we may have had a concept, but we didn't know how it was going to be executed. There were so many different blitz types, and you know, Bronco was even showed a willingness to change his philosophy. He came in as a 3-3-5, moved to a 3-4, and I don't know.
Back to 20. I was just going to say, think back to 2015, too, with Bronco, when we had some injuries kind of early in the season on our D-line, and so he changes it up. We're against UCLA. You know, you had those kind of crazy fronts, and I think part of it was just Rosen's a freshman at that time, but, you know, he didn't have anybody down. Like, it was everyone was standing up at the line. He didn't know who was coming.
Yep.
You know, he was kind of loading it with linebackers and a couple D-line, and he just had no idea. And it's even something like that, right, where I think that was kind of forced because of personnel, but I just love that Bronco was willing to adapt to what he had and still come up with a defense that at least disrupted UCLA. Now, the next week against Michigan, they got blitzed, obviously. But
that was a talent thing more than a philosophy,
yes,
though.
Agreed. And with Washington, I mean, it's a talent thing as well, but I definitely feel like with this team – I think, at least in the trenches, I felt like we had the talent to do better or show better against them than we did.
Yep.
And I agree, too. I think coaching was a big part of it.
As the as this podcast coach apologist, I will bring up and remind the fact that the injuries we had. Thinking back, I don't – who do you blitz? I mean, we were listing Diane. We're missing Zane Anderson.
Those are very painful,
was looked slower than anyone on the field. I'm sorry. I'm sure he's still hurt, but I'm not blitzing.
Then that's the guy. That's the guy you blitz. Get him out of coverage.
But I don't think he's not going to get to the quarterback. He's
and then he may not get to the quarterback. But what if he frees up an
blocker
end.
And, yeah. I think we missed, and not obviously, like, we didn't lose this game because we didn't have Diane or Zane, but especially Zane, man. I think we really missed him this game.
Yes.
Like, his speed side to side, and also, yeah, if you bring him off the edge too, you could get home. Like, just something to disrupt that offense. That was probably the most disappointing part. I'm sorry, I'm talking way too much, but, like, that was the most disappointing part, I think, of the game. I know, this is, like, classic Dave here, But just our defense, man. Like, yeah, I know our offense struggled, but we knew we didn't have a great offense. And we knew to stay in this game, our defense was going to have to make some stops. And, man, they were just chewing us up. I mean,
yep.
It was like we had no response to them at all on the defensive side of the ball. And I actually thought offensively, Tanner, at least that first half, I mean, he looked pretty good. I mean, he looked pretty good for the whole game. But, like, I didn't feel like that this was necessarily on the offense per se. I just felt like our defense could not get them off the field.
No, I think they went 9 of 11 on third down. Like, that's just,
yeah,
not only is that not going to get it done, you're going to get blown out every time.
Yep.
It's 9 for 11 on third down.
Yeah.
I'm taking the final word on this since this is my podcast, but I think along with the lack of adjustments, the other thing that was, I want to give one compliment, but also a criticism at the same time. It was nice to see Matt Hadley making plays, and it makes me wonder, how many guys are we wasting on position changes? He comes in and makes an immediate impact at linebacker, just like Tanner Jacobs did the week before at safety. And it's making me mad that we're making all these changes in spring and fall camp, and we're not yielding any results from it, and then we put them back to their original positions, and they have success. It's frustrating to see that.
I'm not talking. I've talked too much.
Thank you. That is all she wrote for the Washington game. But when are the position changes going to pay off? I am waiting. And with that being said, let's move to the Utah State game. Jordan, what's your gut feeling about this one? You feeling good? Because let me remind all you listeners out there how important it is to protect LaBelle's house.
On that note, protect Lavelle's house is infinitely better than quest for perfection. So let's
agreed. Yeah, I think that's something we can all agree with.
Yes, you're right. That slogan is much better than quest for perfection. But it's gonna happen, Jordan. We gotta protect Lavelle's house.
I believe we will. I think there was an edge to our team against Wisconsin, and part of that was the revenge factor. And I think that, again, with Utah State, there's a revenge factor to the way we lost last year. I feel like we're more talented. I feel like Tanner's playing well. And I think we'll move the ball better than we have all year. And I think our defense is going to be physical and hit the quarterback. I feel pretty good about it.
I want to believe that.
We were the worst team we've had as I can remember last year. And I feel like if we would have ran the ball and punted, we would have won last year. If we didn't give up 8 turnovers, we would have won. I feel that we have the talent and that mental edge, that revenge factor. I think those two things will play out and we will get a victory.
Oh, some of that I believe and some of that I don't. I'm not ready to buy in that we're going to get pressure on the quarterback, which ironically is probably going to be one of the biggest factors in who wins that game. Because if he just sits back and picks us apart, we could be looking at another tough loss.
I think it's a win for the just absolutely completely irrational and illogical reason that BYU seems to be completely bipolar, and it's every other game against a P5 team we do well. Not a P5, but like an FBS opponent we do well. So, like, you know, we started well, played well against Arizona, lost the next week against Cal, played well against Wisconsin. Obviously, you had McNeese State thrown in there, and then lost against Washington. So, for that reason, we are on pace to have a good game tomorrow. But, I think Utah State's going to – I don't think it's a great matchup for us, to be honest. I mean, I think what's the kid's name? Jordan Love or whatever.
Yeah.
Is best quarterback in the state. You know, the dude has a great arm, I feel like, can make all the throws. They got some good skill position players. And so again, BYU's got to win in the trenches. They're going to have to get pressure on Jordan to, you know, make them uncomfortable back there. And we got to win some individual battles too in the secondary, I think.
Yep.
I think we should be able to take advantage of their defense. I'm not sold on that D, and I think not that our offense is great, but I think that we should be able to move the ball and hopefully play kind of ball possession and keep the ball out of Utah State's hands. I think it's going to be a closer game than I'd like it. And can I just say, and I know this is such an elitist BYU thing to say, but it really pains me to be talking about this game as a potential BYU loss. The Utah State game, I mean, this never happened. And, I mean, credit to Matt Wells and his staff and Gary Anderson, you know, before that, for kind of turning around the trajectory of that program. But I almost think it says more about BYU after their pathetic season last year than it does about Utah State.
Oh, man. I want to win this game, obviously, as a BYU fan. I'm nervous for this game. I think it's a winnable game. It's going to require not a Wisconsin-type performance, but we need to win the turnover battle. And then I agree, defensive pressure is important. I will also add, this is, if there's ever been a game this season that I want to see us feature specific players, I think this is the game. You know, I'm finally willing to say that Hippo is probably our best offensive player, him and Squally.
Whoa, this is recording, right?
Yes.
That on tape? Okay, cool. I just want to make sure.
Hippo has proved himself. It looks like he just looks more reliable. So it's time to give him. I'm ready to move on from prior mistakes from prior seasons. Wow. This can change if there is a fumble or a drop that loses this game, because BYU fans won't admit this, but this game is becoming important in the state of Utah.
It is. Yeah.
I don't want to lose this game. I don't like Utah State. Like, not to the level of Utah, but they are a little annoying, and it adds a little element of, you don't want to hear people who root for them talk about winning at Lavelle's house. And so I think what we need to do from an offensive perspective is run the rock, Squally, and get the ball in the hands of Hippo and Bushman, who I think will, because of injury, see a lot more time.
Yeah.
Jordan?
Back.
I agree. Oh. I think we're going to get a heavy dose of Bushman, Hippo, and I'm hoping that Simon shows up. He has.
Yeah, right. That is way out there.
I know, but I mean, he was our best receiver last year, and I don't know what's happened this year, but I can see him being an X factor. He's got the athletic ability, and I feel like at home, I want to see something out of Simon. That's something I want to see. So.
Yes.
Also, Akili Davis, what the heck happened to him, man? Like, we were hearing all about him, it sounded like in preseason, the guy has just been a no-show this year. Just hasn't turned in.
Some of that's been, and this is not a criticism as it is an observation, but
here we go.
Oh my gosh, dude. Let me speak. It's not bad coaching. It's just regular coaching, in that we haven't been playing. There hasn't been as much substitution at that position. And I think some of that's because we're playing two and three tight ends a lot more than we have in the past. But But it is, I guess if we do want to touch on bad coaching, it is interesting who gets seemingly unlimited opportunities and who doesn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird that Davis gets a few reps and then he's done. But then, someone like Talon Shumway, who hasn't made an impact all season, is still getting half of the reps at wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. Okay, going back to Aleva real quick. So the analogy I believe you used before was he was on probation. He was out of Matt Biamonte prison and was on probation. Is it safe to say that he has now gotten his first job since being in the pen?
He's off probation, but he has a little flag on his license plate in the system.
Unbelievable.
He's free to come and go as he wants, but there's just a little note that this license plate is high risk and be on alert.
You are unbelievable. All the guy does is make plays. You know,
he's had a great year. He's far and above the best receiver BYU has. However, I want to see some game-changing plays from him. I think he's only really had one in his career, and it was that touchdown pass to Moroni at Wisconsin. I'd love to see – he just – for whatever reason, he does not find his way to the end zone. And I don't know why that is.
It seems more like just the game plan and scheme. He's doing a lot of fly sweeps or jet sweeps, whatever you want to call it. He's catching a lot of short-range passes. They're not really opening it up to him. It's been more Gunner and Colley and, you know, other people they've gone deep to. He's more just in the possession, get first downs guy. But I agree. I mean, he's the best athlete we have. We should get him in space and try to get him in the end zone.
Well, we need to take out a page of Mitch Juergens' book. That guy got to the end zone plenty. Why can't we get Hebo to the end zone?
Yeah.
We haven't been in the red zone that much either. Let's be honest.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, but when we do, we're running routes to Dax Milne instead of our freaking stars, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
If there's ever a game, guys, to just feed the beasts, a.k.a. Squally, Bushman, and Hefo, I feel like this is the game. Because we're certainly – on the same athletic plane as Utah State, if not
for sure.
More athletic. Oh, yeah. You know?
No, I agree. They got some good transfers in from some good places, and I think they've got more talent than they've had in years past. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. This should be a fairly evenly matched game as far as talent goes, and I think that BYU's got the advantage in some areas. Utah State's got the advantage in some areas. Is it safe to say that this is the most important game? I don't necessarily want to say left on the schedule, but it almost feels like it's the most important game on the schedule.
It does feel that way.
I mean, it's a game that I think if we win it, we are absolutely for sure going to a bowl game and most likely hitting 8 wins. If we lose it, I think we still make a bowl game, but it's
close.
Suddenly a little bit more up in the air. Yeah, and it's more like a 6-6 team.
And you know what's a scary thought?
What's that?
I mean, it also – this definitely plays into my narrative. I'm not going to deny that. But if we don't win this game, we wouldn't have had a decent home win in 2 years, guys. Think about that.
It's true. We'll have another shot with Northern Illinois coming in.
Oh my gosh. No. No, I don't fetch and think so. I'm not letting you get away with that.
I have a question for you too.
Okay.
Do you believe that Utah State is a better team than the Pac-12 South leading Arizona Wildcats?
Yes. I think I have to say
what
yes.
What makes you believe that?
Their sole performance.
Again, the Pac-12 South leading Wildcats.
That's a very good thing to hear, for the record. That makes me very happy. I would say, based on their performance alone at Michigan State, I think that performance in a loss is better than any performance that Arizona has had. Like, I really want to give them credit for blowing the Beavers' doors off a couple weeks ago, but I just can't do it.
I just feel like Utah State does this. They have great coaching. They spend all fall preparing for that big game. They did it against, what was it, Auburn a few years ago?
True.
I don't know that that's indicative of the rest of their season. And they've blown out a bunch of cupcakes, let's be honest, since then. So I respect them. I think it'll be a good game. But I don't hold them in such high regard as a lot of people that I'm hearing, including you, Matt. So I think you get this win.
I've never wanted you to be more right than this game because as a fan, I'm needing a convincing win where we just – it doesn't have to be a blowout, but a nice 34-17 would make me feel really good.
Matt, just my level of confidence so you understand. Let's say we're in Vegas right now. I'm putting BYU to cover in a parlay, okay? That's my level of confidence.
That is ridiculous, Jordan. You are way overconfident. In a parlay?
Like a 3-5 team parlay, I'm throwing BYU not only to win but cover. That's my level of confidence right now. And you know where I'm at with the gambling, all right? You know my luck and how I feel. So
you're right.
You know that I feel confident.
You have a pristine record, but this is really putting your reputation on the line.
I think Utah State, they always seem to play us tough. They always get up for it. And it seems like, especially the last few years that I can think of, at home especially, they played us really tough.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously there was the game when Taysom, you know, got hurt, got knocked out of the game. We ended up losing that game. There was Taysom's first year where we end up eking out the win, and then obviously Taysom gets knocked out of that game too. There was the game, I'm trying to think, was it a couple years ago that we actually did win in relatively handily, but it still wasn't a total. I don't know. They always seem to come in and play us tough.
Yeah.
So especially early, and so I'm hoping that we can jump on them and you know, kind of throw the first punch instead of, you know, having them score early, getting their confidence going, you know, I really think the start is really important. I think if BYU can get off to a good start, it could lead to us winning by two to three scores. But if Utah State gets off to a hot start, it's gonna be tough on BYU. So,
all right, let's end with this. Just best case, worst case. You know, if we win, what do you think this means? If we lose, what do you think this means? For me, if we lose, I'm starting to think that maybe we're on the same plane as Utah State, which is a terrible thing to think. I don't want to accept that, but it's hard to make an argument that they're not equal, because over the last couple of years, it would have been equal, you know? So best case, I think a convincing win against Utah State establishes that we are still a better program. And even in our quote unquote rebuilding year, we're still a lot better than them. Next person, anyone?
I'll go. I'll just say I agree with you, Matt, on both counts. I think a loss. I feel like this season is already better than last season. Not just from the wins and losses perspective, but also just from the overall team attitude. You know, Grimes, it seems like, has been instilling an identity offense, even though the offense has still struggled. We've taken advantage of certain areas. We don't look like we're just phoning it in some of these games. But yes, I agree. I think a loss, suddenly it's like, oh my gosh, we are closer to Utah State than we are to like a P5, you know, program. But then a win, not even necessarily a convincing win, but even just a win, I think, because from where we were last year, and I'm with Jordan, I mean, that was so bad. I mean, that was a historically bad season.
Yep.
And so even just getting a win, getting back on track against in-state rivals, you know, getting to 4-2, I think is just huge. It doesn't even have to be a blowout, you know, but just a W, I think, would be a big shot in the arm for the program, especially going into the portion of their schedule that should lighten up fairly substantially.
Dave? Or Jordan, my bad.
I hate to be this guy, but I'm going to be this guy. Utah State's our little brother. They're always going to be our little brother. Who was our – remind me, who played quarterback for us last year?
Coy Detmer.
Where is he at now?
Some Division II powerhouse.
Is he working at a barbecue place in Texas? Or, like, where is Coy?
An offense that's way more effective and efficient than ours, for the record.
He is not a Division I quarterback, all right? That's the only reason we lost last year. They are not on our level. You got, and I hate the fact that two loyal Cougar fans are even speaking this way, all right? Get your confidence up. We are BYU, and we are going to beat these guys.
Let me make this loud and clear. If we lose this game, you are coming on next podcast and giving me a lengthy and public apology for refusing to protect Lavelle's house. You hear me?
I will gladly do that.
I won't be able to
lose. Which, if we lose, it's going to be because their quarterback played out of his mind and Tanner either gets hurt or throws multiple interceptions. I mean,
I don't think that's a possibility. I don't think Tanner's
going
to.
That's why I don't think we're going to. I think we will hold the ball. We will run the ball. I think we'll have success on offense. I do not think we will blow them out. I agree with some of the points that Dave and you have made. It's going to be a relatively close game, but we will win this game. And if we do, it just shows the growth of the program, and also that we can pick ourselves up off a horrible, horrible year last year. And then we have a chance at 10 wins. Okay, let's stop. We won four games last year. That's last year. Let's move forward. Let's have some optimism. Let's put on those blue goggles and, you know, let's get some wins. Let's beat Utah. Let's beat Boise. Let's start and tomorrow. Let's beat Utah State. Let's go.
How do you do this? What happened last Saturday? I'm struggling to get over a demoralizing loss, and we're just talking about 10 wins here.
I turned the game off at halftime, Matt.
What are you?
All right.
Send me some of what you're drinking because I need it in my life.
Look, we were outmatched. They were ready for us. They have superior athletes. If we play a team that I feel like is just better than us, I can accept that loss.
Yes.
I'm not going to accept the loss to Utah State because they are not better than us. Okay? And so,
all right.
What I've seen so far, those guys up north, they're not better than us either. So let's go. Let's get some dubs.
Great.
Yes. I love it, Jordan.
I will see you both tomorrow in Lavelle's house, and I better walk out happy. Let's just put it that way.
If they win tomorrow, will you come on the next podcast and say you'll stop bringing up this Protect Lavelle's House with your sarcastic attitude?
Only for the rest of this year, because we expect to win this game. I'm looking for a quality win at home, which we haven't had since Mississippi State. But I will refuse to bring it up for the rest of the year. That's the best I can do.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Dave.
Hey, thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, guys. Go Cougars. And I'm looking forward to a very interesting discussion next week.
34-27. You hear it here first.
Woo! I like it.
All right. Take care, guys. See you tomorrow.
We'll see you. Bye.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.